The season 3 finale of Flight Risk is brought to you by...
Greetings, interstellar travelers, from Point Zero Star, a sci-fi RPG adventure with 5 Canadians as your hosts. Follow the crew of the Mary Shelley, Vinyl Flyway.
I would just hate it if we walked in there, you know, with like a gun, and then she shot us with our own gun.
Kays.
You'll have to excuse me, Coachella, but I'm gonna have to cut our lunch short.
Coachella's my sister.
Nyx Nedra.
And she looks up at Nyx, and she's studying you for a sec, just eyeing you up.
I flex.
And the daring captain, Rust Duckers.
And he's like, that's you, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, if you ever hear anybody talking about it, just remind them who you sold this thing to.
They're just trying to earn some thread and stay under the radar. But things haven't worked out that way so far. To follow the adventures of the Mary Shelley, search for ZERROSTAR, however you receive podcast transmissions.
A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Reconciliation! With a connection finally made between the two teams, will the combined intellect of the mad scientist Gypham Nark and the eccentric Anarchy Fortuna be enough to get our wayward weaklings home? Will Bail and Skip escape the oncoming Sith forces? Will Aaron Windstalker leave weak or stay and become the fifth Yinchuri Paladin? Will Quay risk being returned to the servitude of the Count or start a new life on this mystical new world?
Welcome back, everybody, to the finale for season 3 of Flight Risk. We are wrapping up our Strangers in a Strange Land. We're wrapping up Trapped in Purgatory all at the same time. This is going to be fun. We have all of our players tonight. We've never tried this before, so this might be awesome, or it might be a train wreck. I'm hoping for both at the same time. I think we can pull it off. So, as always, I am your GM, Dwayne. We're going to go around and introduce all of our players, so bear with us. There's like 47 of us tonight. So, first, we have Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing, sir?
Hi, everyone. This is Kyle. I play Skip Fortuna, the irascible and lovable lounge singer Twillick, the lesser half of Anarchy and Skip Fortuna.
All right. Next, we have Joe. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. What character are you bringing tonight?
I am bringing the Bail Bronda. Mercenary, impulsive, really crazy, and likes explosions, Bail Bronda. Yes, that one. That hasn't changed. He's always been like that, and he will always be like that.
All right, next we have Mark. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You?
I'm excited. What crazy, wacky character are you bringing to our game?
I will be playing Aaron Windstalker, the former hermit who likes to hit things with a stick.
Now he has a whole posse of friends. He can't call himself a hermit anymore.
Well, yeah, he's got, I know. Yeah.
He's got a family.
Yep. Didn't see it coming.
Next, we have Velvet. Velvet, how are you?
Doing well, Dwayne. How are you holding up?
I'm great. I'm trying to hold this whole show together between my hands. It's slipping through my fingers. It's like sand through the hourglass. All right, what crazy, fun, straight-laced character are you going to bring?
The straightest of lace. I am playing Anarchy Fortuna, Skip's lovely sister, and absolutely the brains behind the Revolution of Week.
The stories they will tell for years and years. Last but not least, we have Matt. Matt, how are you?
I'm just fine, thanks. And everyone else has already asked you how you're feeling, so I'll skip that part.
You don't really care. It's fine, Matt. I know. It's fine.
I didn't ask him how he was doing.
I have no feelings.
I was just trying to get through mine while somebody was brushing my hair.
All right, Matt.
It's a well-known fact that as a teacher, I am actually an emotionless robot.
Hey, as a fellow educator, I feel that. I feel you. I'm dead on the inside. It's the only way you make it through the day. All right, Matt, who are you bringing to the table?
Let's see. I'm playing Anarchy Fortuna. She's a Twi'lek.
She's a Twi'lek lounge singer. Wait, I'm confused. What are we doing?
No, my character is Que Danger Goris. Que is uses the pronouns they, them. They are a they see themselves as a sort of, I guess, cowboy poet type in the stars. And they're an exile from their home planet of Arbuin. Yeah, they're a big bird.
Awesome. The biggest and bestest of the birds. All right. Where we last left both stories, the Trapped in Purgatory crew finally was able to make contact with those strangers in a strange land. A crackling voice was heard over the radio by Anarchy, and she heard Skip proclaim that they were on their way to get them. So, does Anarchy have a response to her dearest and loving brother?
Is this a live transmission, or is this like a recording?
This is live. It's crackling, it's staticky, it's like going across the cosmos by the magic of the force and plot. This connection has been made.
You better not be some spirit messing with me. I already killed one today. Tell me something only Skip would know.
Ah, Anarchy, is that you?
Answer the question, intruder.
What was the question? Bale, what was the question?
I really think she's trying to ask if you are who you really are.
Well, of course I am who would pretend to be me.
You'd be surprised, Skip. Hi, Anarchy! It's me, Bale.
Hi, Bale. All right, I'm satisfied. Skip.
Wonderful.
This planet's dumb. Whoa.
This can't be Anarchy. She's never satisfied.
That's true. Maybe I'm not me. Anyway, this place is dumb. Hurry up. There's purgles, though, so you'll be happy.
Oh, you mean Willy Freeze?
I already rode one.
Yeah, but there's a family here. So there's three of them.
We just sent off a family of purgles. Was one of them all beat up?
Yeah. How did he get over here?
Interesting.
Are you holding out on me?
Well, purgles are good at flying.
Skip starts looking at the scientist guy and shrugging his shoulders and raising his hands.
Flying in space. Between space?
Anarchy, let's just say that your brother had a very, very fun yet reckless yet scary adventure looking for you.
Well, we had an excellent adventure that kind of started as a bogus journey. So he gets to just even out.
Yes!
Gaifim will chime in. He'll just push kind of Skip out of the way and go, this is quite fascinating and highly, like, not shouldn't be possible. I don't know how we're talking to you. By my triangulations, you are beyond almost known space at this point. Even if we wanted to get you, it would take us probably months in hyperspace at best to even come close to you. I don't know how, one, you got there without exploding or ripping through a star or creating... Did you create a black hole in some way on your way over there?
Maybe.
That would be fascinating. A man-made black hole.
What's fascinating is that I just killed a ghost and restored a millennia old... derelict underground spaceship just to get a phone message across.
So, what are you calling us from?
I don't know. This is a ship that's a phone that's bouncing off a hyperdrive gate in shallow orbit. How are you hearing me? I'm telling you right now, we're all dead. This is like that movie, The Pocket Geist. I'm talking you to through the TV.
Okay, Carol Ann, we can figure this out.
So, you have a hyperdrive key. I thought those were all decommissioned. That's, wow, okay. That's good to know. We could list that in our resources. So, do you have a way off planet? I mean, what was your plan if this call didn't happen?
I was expecting this call to happen. You pinged me halfway to trying to get a shuttle up to repair the hyperdrive gate. This planet is Bronze Age. I have a metal dragon. Nobody here got any memos that were ever sent.
Okay, so you have a hyperdrive gate. Do you have any working ships? How are you going to use a hyperdrive gate? Which, I mean, you just can't walk through it. That's not how they work.
Oh, yeah, geez, you know what? Let me just toss away my PhD and medical degree and years of working on starships.
Finally! Getting rid of those!
I was going to strap a fishbowl to my head and just march across the star to the hyperdrive.
You know, I always thought those were useless things.
So he's like, after hearing that you have these degrees, like, I'm dealing with another impact. I'm sorry, my only experiences with what I guess is your brother and his friend or compatriot or, I don't know, lover, I don't know the wife.
I went to the school of hard knocks.
So you see what I've been working with, so you can see why the bar was set so low. So
we solved all your puzzles.
Bronze Age. Excuse me, but we solved all of your puzzles, okay? Maybe not in the most traditional of ways, but we still solved
even smarter. So,
yes, exactly. High five, Skip.
I would not say throwing a hand grenade at a door and praying to the Force as being smarter, but yes, you did win. I'll give you that.
That is absolutely smart.
Hey, look,
smart.
And you've got hours of entertainment too. Don't forget about that.
Yes, it'll be fun to rewatch and add silly bloopers and sound effects to your pratfalls.
Oh yeah, and don't forget that we're also saving you from the Sith.
Yes.
Whereas looking out a portal in the side of the ship while this is going on, and briefly turns around and says, "I think the good guys are winning down here, but maybe we should help or something. Is this going to take much longer?"
Is that Quay?
I think I'm dying.
Quay? Hi.
Hello. Yes.
I don't think they can see you waving. This is just audio only.
I love the idea of Bale just waving his arm back and forth at nothing. Just because.
Did you just say Sith?
Yeah. Why?
Oh, we killed one of those.
Oh. Well, that's good.
We didn't.
Yes.
Yeah, ours was really lame. He was some kind of ghost in a shell, had some kind of complex.
They've got a catapult out there now. I've never seen one before.
Wait, are you telling me that ghosts have shells?
He was like, ghost in a shell. So
they have shells? No, this is new. This is, wow. I always thought ghosts were incorporeal. I didn't know they could have shells. Did you break the shell? Tell me you broke the shell.
Yeah, the shell's broken.
Yes! All right. So maybe you could teach me how to do it.
I mean, we met a mountain man who has a glowing sword. He kind of did that.
Mountain men?
What?
What planet are you on? I want to meet these mountain men.
Quay sees Aaron fly by in the Purgle, like raising the ground with the Force through the portal that he's looking out.
Yeah, Gyphon will definitely go, yeah, we are working on a clock. We do have the Sith on our way, and so do you have a way of getting a ship or a ship-like thing up to the hyperdrive gate? Is that an option?
That's our only option.
Yes.
Which we have worked thoroughly on.
You were asking someone else.
Okay, so this is completely theoretical. This is what I've been doing on my lunch breaks. But I think if you jump through if you hit hyperspace, when you hit a hyperdrive portal, it should fling you at an exponentially fast enough speed to get you here relatively fast. He turns to Bale and goes, you know, like in Pod Race Extreme 2000, the hyper lanes that they used to have?
Yeah.
Right? How they took them out.
That's like the... Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, they took them out for Padres Extreme 3000 because it was like a cheat. So we're basically going to try to cheat the universe by flinging you guys super fast, basically multiplying hyperspace by hyperspace. Now, this will either end with you guys getting here relatively soon or exploding the entire universe. But either way, this should be very exciting.
Oh, I get it. So you mean that we're going to use a cheat that no longer exists in the universe?
What because we shall call it is that we will... Three. We have a hole, and we'll put some dough in the hole, and then we'll go through the hole in the dough, and we will call it the Hole Dough Maneuver.
That, you know, it does sound... That sounds catchy. It seems like it's missing a syllable, but it definitely sounds catchy. But, yeah. We'll do the Skip name it. He's good at naming things. We'll call it the Hole Dome Maneuver. So if you guys can get up there, and time it just right, then yeah, that's what you should do. If not, you're gonna be flying through hyperspace for months and months. I don't know if you have enough supplies. We're probably gonna get killed by Sith in a few minutes. So.
Actually, yeah. I think we still have an hour and a half.
Minutes, hour and a half. Time isn't real. We all know this.
Whoa. Mind blown. You have to explain this to me. I mean, we got an hour and a half, right? Why don't you start talking about that a little bit? Try to enlighten me there, Guyfum. I mean, we are saving your life.
Just subscribe to my Holotube page. I have some videos. You can watch them. Just make sure you give it a thumbs up and click the bell. That way you get notifications when I put out new episodes. That would be great.
Will do, friend. Will do. Actually, I have a nice little setup on the ship. So maybe you could actually record it live in a new location.
That definitely sounds like a plan. So,
all right. We have... Right now, we will jump just straight over to Week. And how... What is your guys' plan to get to that hyperspace portal? What is your thing? Are you just going to ride bareback on Purgles? Are you going to make a giant catapult and fling something through there? I don't know. What is the plan?
I know where my vote is.
We could do all of the above. I'm pretty sure we did end up being able to jury-rig the one shuttle.
Okay, yeah, because I know we had talked about trying to chariot style it to the Mama and the Papa Purgle.
Yeah, that was the plan that we last had. We were going to hook them up, and they were going to fly us into space.
All right. So, we will have...
Bring Wowser with us, too.
Okay, you're going to bring the Wowser butt? That's going to up the payload there. I can imagine a giant, 10-foot-tall robot dragon weighs a little bit. So...
Put rockets on it.
All right, so... You weaklings, we know that the battle was kind of wrapping up. We have a man flying on a Purgle, manipulating the magical forces of the planet around. We had bandits routing what was left of the old gods after their master was destroyed. The feet ninjas were kind of all, some of them were melted by anarchy and the rest probably scattered. So in this last kind of montage, if this was a movie, we're having little vignettes of your guys' last moments on Week. What is the last scene or last errands your characters want to do? So for Mark, what is Aaron's last acts on Week before they try this jump that might destroy the entire universe?
I think he would have to talk to Rick Swordfire. Okay. And offer him the opportunity to come visit the stars. If there's room on the ship, Rick Swordfire should come.
Rick Swordfire. Step to the underside of a Purgle like a lamprey.
Just strap him. He makes great leather strappings, he'll figure out. Okay. So, Rick will be in his cottage. He's scribbling down furiously in those notepads. Like going through his great-grandfather's notes, crossing out things that were wrong, rewriting things that are now right. When Aaron comes in the door, he looks up excitedly and goes, So Lady Eris and Sir Quay, are they still here? Are they staying the Champion Week and make sure we stay free?
Well, that's what I came here to talk to you about. We're looking to leave the planet. We thought you might want to join us.
There's a way off? I mean, I know things have crashed on the planet. You have a way off of the planet?
We have multiple ways off that we're going to string together to make a chariot. You would appreciate the ingenuity.
That's... And would we never come back?
Unlikely.
This... I don't know. I've dreamt of making sure my father's work and my grandfather's work was real. And now that it's here, I don't know. Do I just leave or do I spread the word and let people know that we're not alone? What do you think I should do, Aaron? You are worldly. You know what would be best. Do I owe it to Week to stay and enlighten these people?
I mean, you've got your choices, and I think it really should be yours to make. In my opinion, yes, you should tell our story. You've always been a great storyteller. You know the Paladins, they're staying. But also, imagine everything that's out there. I mean, your father, you've only seen the tiniest grain of sand in the ocean of the universe. There's so much out there that we have only begun to understand.
I don't know. That sounds like a charm check to me, Dwayne.
Nah, this is like I said, this is we're just RPing the crap out of this thing. Dice are for suckers, man.
Yeah,
dice
are for suckers. Dig my character sheet out. I'm not quite sure where it is right now.
Nah, it's all good. Nah, yeah. No, Rick will pause and we'll look at his blacksmithing tools, see the weapons on the wall that he's made, that his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather have made, and seeing everything they've accomplished, and go, does the universe need a sword maker? Does it need a blacksmith? I feel like I would be so small and useless there. But I think here, telling the story and opening people's eyes to the world might be my best calling. We need to bring this knowledge to Week. I can be your voice. I can sing the gospel of Windstalker and Lady Eris and Sir Quay and the Paladins and the day they defeated Lord Moment and inspire this planet. And maybe one day we will reach the stars on our own. And I think that's what I need to do. I think I will help us reach the stars. But the universe is too big for someone like me. I need to be here.
I understand. And good on you for staying. Aaron reaches out and they do that forearm clasp. Oh, yeah.
The manly forearm clasp. Mm-hmm. And he hands you one of the journals and says, "This is... that my dad's last book that he was writing. Can you just take it with you? So part of him finally gets to see that he was right. We'll get to see the universe. I think somewhere in the Force, wherever he may be, he'd appreciate that."
I'll hold on to it and I'll cherish it. And I might even read it.
You can try. The man had terrible penmanship, but you can try here. Here's a cipher he wrote in this backwards, upside down thing because he thought the walls were spying on him.
I hear he was a bit of a ranter, too.
Little bit. He was a little friendly, we'll say nutters, but I loved him.
Aaron opens up the book and there are no periods in it.
Exactly. It is just no spacing. It's just a wall of letters in different directions, wrapping in like in circular patterns around the page.
I'll take good care of this.
Thank you. And Safe travels, Aaron Windstalker. Safe travels.
And you, Rick Swordfire.
All right. What is Sir Quay doing on their last few moments here on Week?
Well, seeing as we do have some space in the shuttle, there is someone here who could probably come with us.
Sure.
And probably should.
Okay.
I think Quay seeks out the young Amwati who they met before, the one who had been displaced somehow in a similar way as Quay. And so that's what they're doing now. They're looking for that that young one.
You will find the Amwati. He's out on the battlefield. He's helping to collect and clean up the weapons and the things, trying to make everything return to normal after this epic battle. He just has a cart. He's collecting broken weapons, anything that might be of use that could be repurposed. And he stops and he sees you coming, and he just runs over and gives you just a huge hug and is just, oh, I was so worried, Sir Quay. I mean, I know they told me you were a great warrior, but this was, I've never seen anything like this. I'm so glad to see that you're okay. Is Lord Momin gone?
Lord Momin is gone. I am glad to see that you have emerged from the fray unscathed as well, young one.
Yes, I stayed up in the trees and I just used my crossbows and I just stayed hidden because I'm not a fighter. They could hurt me, but I have a sure shot. I have great aim.
That is good to hear. I hope that your aim with your soul will be as true as it is with your bolts. There is an opportunity for you that waits in the stars.
The stars? What do you mean, Sir Quay?
You wish to find a way to return home.
Yes, I'm across the seas, and I don't even know if my home is still there. It's been so long. I don't know what will I find when I return home, but it is where I am from.
We will be leaving the planet. When we reach the orbit of this celestial body, we will be able to see everything that lies below. Not only will we be able to see the ultimate minuteness of this conflict and the other conflicts that exist within this sphere, we will be able to see what has happened to your home on our way to leaving the system.
You want me to go with you, Sir Quay? You want me to stay with you?
I want you to have the opportunity to return home. And if that opportunity is not available, the opportunity to find a new one. You see,
I want to say that there are probably still some functional escape pods on the Star Destroyer, right?
Yeah, I can say that for certain.
Okay, so presumably Anarchy could rig one up so that if it turns out that this kid's homeland is still there, we could just, like,
shoot him,
drop pod him down there before we leave.
Yeah, that's definitely an option. I can say, I think that's something we could pull off.
Okay, well, that's the option that Quay offers. If, as we orbit this planet, we find that your home remains as it was, we can send you there from the skies, like a star making landfall. And if that is not the case, then instead you can come with us to see those stars instead. It all depends on what your soul desires.
He looks up into the three eyes of Sir Quay and goes, I don't really have anyone here for me anymore. I'm lost on this planet. I don't know what I can be and what I can do, but I know you, Sir Quay, are a good person, a good soul. And if I could be a fraction of what you are, I think with you is where I belong. I need to learn of this universe, to learn how to be
my own person. And I think if I could learn from you, Sir Quay, I think I will be a righteous person. So will you take me as your squire, Sir Quay?
If that is what you wish, though, I don't know where I will be going from here. Only that it will not be from whence I came.
Wherever you go, Sir Quay, I will gladly follow.
Very well, then. And Quay puts a hand on the youth's shoulder and says, then we must away.
He walks off with you, and you can see he's walking a little taller, a little prouder. At least he has now found direction. He's been lost for so long, but now he has a destination. Last but not least, of course, Lady Eris. What are you doing on your last few time here on week?
I'll probably just be triple, quadruple checking everything to make sure we don't explode. And if possible, attaching some rockets to Wowzer to make the transit easier.
Yeah, you're going to strap Wowzer to the outside, maybe have him act as extra boosters. Sure. Yeah, as you're working, the local blacksmith guild has come over, and they are definitely, you know, they work with leather and steel. This is kind of my a little bit beyond them, but they are learning at your feet, trying to figure out the best way of attaching things. And if you teach them how to use, I don't know, a blowtorch of some kind, I guess you're going to leapfrog the Industrial Revolution in this planet by a bit. But yeah. So you have a small army of blacksmiths of various shapes, sizes, and, you know, creeds. But they are definitely working with you to try to get this flying chariot as safe as possible.
Aaron's sort of wrangling the Purgles so that they stay calm while they get fitted for harnesses.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of attention from the Purgles, because getting those harnesses put on, at least for the one that was missing the eye, it's definitely a tension moment, because it's very similar to what it was going through in the lab before it was freed. It tenses up, but Aaron using his connection to the Force and the fact that Jason the Purgle is there floating around and trusting you does make it a little bit easier. But yeah, there's some tension. So yeah, you have to at least keep an eye on that Purgle to make sure it doesn't, you know, slap someone with one of its tentacles in a panic state.
Mm-hmm. There, big guy. You doing okay? This won't take too long.
So we will jump back over to our Trapped in Purgatory duo. As Gyphum turns away from the communicator, he looks, and we have the unconscious and bound Dalo, who we know is now as Apriel, on the ground, and goes, the Sith are coming, and they're not going to be happy that we've incapacitated one of their agents, and they're going to take me back. And I honestly don't care what side I'm working for. I like to make things, but let me show you something. And he walks over to his computer and he pushes some buttons and the screen lights up. And you saw it when you walked in, the backpack that had, it looked like it had a slug thrower or something attached to it.
Yeah.
And he says, this is a new weapon. This is something I've been working on that I think is going to change the universe.
What is it?
It is. I haven't really got a name for it, but it definitely blasts things, and I don't know what else I want to end that. A blast gun, a blast pistol, a blast thrower, something like that.
Blasto. Let's call it a blasto.
We'll put that as a working title. And basically, I've taken.
Oh, Master Blaster. That sounds like an awesome... Skip, how do we call it a Master Blaster?
Sure.
So this will definitely change the war, at least. So whatever side gets this will definitely have an advantage. So my question to you two is, do we parlay with the Sith? Do we run to the Jedi, or... What do you two want to do?
There's a third option.
You can hand it to me. And it doesn't get in anybody's hands.
Oh, they will definitely catch us if just you have none of our weapons.
Do you know who I am? I'm Bale Bronda. No one gets the best of me. Well, at least for the time
except
being.
Except Trill.
I think this is just foreshadowing for a tragic and unfortunate event in the future. But still, no one gets the best of me ever.
You're being awfully quiet there, Mr. Fortuna. Do you have a preference for this war? Who we side with? What we do?
War? What is it good for anyway?
Absolutely nothing.
I say we bring these back to the Count and see if he can parlay with both and get the best price.
That's not a bad idea. Do you think we can get past the Sith? We have to leave now.
Let's go then.
All right. I'll grab Dala over here. What is it? Abria?
Abria.
Abria. Yes, Abria. That's her name. Abria. Okay, I just need to remember that. So Bale will walk over, grab Abria, and start walking out. All right, we don't have much time. Let's get going.
The large robot body of Guy from Narc with his head brain thing in his chest torso area goes over to his computer, starts feverishly typing keys, and goes, "All right, this has been fun here, but..."
Oh, wait. Before you do that, are you setting up a self-destruct mechanism?
Yeah, I just turned it on. We got about 3 minutes.
Great. Is Pip still...
How will we get back through the entire maze in 3 minutes?
I have a direct route. We're right above the entrance, guys. You guys kind of went in a loop.
Oh, so, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah, there's like stairs right over there, right to the front.
And we went the long way. Well, you know what? Oh. It was fun. I can dig that. By the way, is Pip still like out of commission?
Yeah. I guess he'd still be connected to the thing with the restraining bolt on him.
Oh, by the way, Guyphon, before we go, could you let go of my droid over here? I kind of need him.
We can get you a newer one. I can do whatever calculations he can do.
No. You're going to let him go now, because that is Pip, and that is my Pip, my friend, and he's on Navigator.
Fine. He walks over, disconnects the... restraining bolt, and Pip just whips around and like starts pounding onto the big mechanical legs of Guy from Narc, just swearing tons of explicitives that
you gotta do the SpongeBob nautical noises.
Exactly, that was a bunch of binary swearing. That's all that was.
Pip, we don't have much time. We need to go. I told you that I'm going to make you a super killing machine later. But right now, we need to get going.
I will not carry you up the stairs, you stupid robot.
he just turns to Skip and just starts to scream at him.
Yes, I think that this outfit would do well with a cape. You're right, Pip, but that's not the time.
I motion over to Pip, and I get really close, and I go, "It's okay, I'll let you shock him later." All right, let's get moving. So I grab Opria, and motion.
Opriel.
Opria. No. Opriel, yes. So I grab Opriel. And I run out the door.
Sure. Would be the three conscious people, a droid and an unconscious Twi'lek, rush down to the ship, rush out the front gate. You step outside, and the three ships, the one you guys came in, and the two other ones that have been collecting dust, are kind of out in front there. Do you just all clam into yours, or what's the plan?
No, I'm definitely going to Blamber. That was the best.
Blamber, we know, is a Star Wars word for move gracefully.
I guess we
could. Then I don't do that.
It's a flight risk cannon word, okay? Jeez.
I don't know. How big is the ship that we took to get here?
Yours was, it wasn't that really that big. It was just enough for the three or four of you, because you had Pip on there with Dala at the time. So relatively small. The other ones are kind of bigger. They were more military type vehicles. They probably hold like 6 to 10-ish people. So, you know, going from a four-door car to an SUV.
Let's take the SUV. It's an SUV with guns, I assume?
Yeah, these are military vehicles. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Right. Yep, we're taking the one with guns. Bale points over to you. Let's take that one. Because that one has guns. I like guns.
All right, guy from looks and goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no dead bodies in that one. Good choice.
Oh, wow. yes. So Bale immediately hops in, gets it started, motions over to Pip and go, Pip, we need to get this thing going. Hurry it up. Come on.
All right. Pip wheels over, connects, and goes.
We don't really have much of a choice, Pip. I'm sorry. Pip, I will get you the biggest shaka I can find, and I'm going to attach it to where your tiny little shaka is at. That way, if anybody ever does that to you ever again, you'll be able to give them an even bigger jolt. Ah, that's the spirit, Pip.
Sure. We have the little quorum there leaving from the planet. As they kind of leave the atmosphere, you can look back and just see the explosion of Gyphum Narc's beautiful facility, the amazing escape room that he had built, slowly starts going in flames. Our cameras go inside. You see Wally Wampa and the Wailers playing their last song like the band of the Titanic as everything burns around them. They play the Wally Wampa song one last time to the crowded room of mousers dressed like children who are happily dancing as everything around them burns.
That is like...
it's a perfect metaphor for this show.
Yeah, like that is like... I don't know how to describe it. It's like so... wow. Yeah. It's so like dark, and at the same time, it's like I feel sorry for all those mousers.
they don't really have personality. They're just eating machines. Rikard Dawson is laying on that floor in pieces as everything burns around him, and he, this his last communication just goes out to the nothingness. He's all,
finally, a reprieve.
And an explosion. And Guy from Narc's thing is gone. You guys are taken off, disappearing into the night as a star would be. Back on Week, we have a small gathering of the weaklings are out there to see this thing that they don't believe is real. There are probably still some deniers that you're actually going to go into space. They think you guys are just going to fly off. This is going to be one of those things where those people who don't believe in the moon landing, even though they saw it happen, they're not going to believe it happened for whatever reason. And you guys start loading up. Aaron Windstalker gets to say goodbye to the paladins. The four of them and their dad are there. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of group around you and go, bro, broski, my man, dude, we cannot thank you enough for saving Unpapa here. And
it wasn't me. It was those other two.
You were there. Don't downplay it. You are too humble, man. Toot your horn. Toot, toot, Windstalker. Toot, toot, man. You did great. You were there when we couldn't fight Momin. You did your magical sword and poof, bam, Momin was gone. That's a lot, dude. Cool. Don't forget that. That was pretty righteous.
I agree.
Righteous, man.
Righteous.
So, you are always welcome in our casa for any ravers and meat pie parties that we have. We're going to miss you, bro.
I'll miss you, too.
All right.
I might be back someday. We'll see.
All right. We will keep a slice for you, man. We'll keep one slice out for you.
Pour one slice out for me.
Definitely will. I mean, we'll probably eat it after we pour it out because no one wants to waste meat pie. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's especially with cheese.
Exactly. And the meats. Goodness. Now you got me all hungry, broski.
You did it to yourself.
All right. You get a big four-way Yinchuri hug as they squeeze you and they say, all right, Windstalker, you be good, bro. You be good.
Catch you on the flip side.
Ha ha ha. Righteous. Lady Eris, you are doing a little supervising of the last assembly of the ship when the old potion maker, she walks up to you and goes, Lady Eris, if you have a moment.
Did I ever get her name?
We never gave her a name. She was just the creepy potion lady.
Yeah, she was just the potion witch.
Yeah.
What is it, potion witch?
I just want to give you this. And she hands you a small, like, leather-bound book. These are some of my special potions. And I have them all memorized. And what I saw you able to do, I think you can be a potion witch, too. I think you have it in you. I believe in you.
Anarchy is genuinely touched and hugs the book to her.
You go and bring a little anarchy to the universe. I believe in you.
I will leave her with a face melter, just in case.
I hit her in the face with a face melter.
No.
No one can remember my face. I gotta go. Sir Quay and their new squire are gathering up the last of their belongings. The young squire has offered back Sir Quay's blaster that he'd given him before as to earn passage. And so, Sir Quay, this is yours. I cannot take it now. This is your heirloom. I cannot take it.
Nonsense, young one. It was a gift. And a gift returned is no gift at all. You must take it and learn to become worthy of it, as I was once.
He just big smile on his face, and he puts it into this little leather holster thing that he had made for it, and it's proudly on his hip as he walks onto the little spaceship you guys have rigged and takes his seat.
Also, we should probably get that, like, fixed at some point. It's it's very broken.
It doesn't really do. It's more like a paperweight right now, but still.
It's completely useless.
Yeah. But that could be
what a starter. Yeah. Otherwise, he'll shoot his eye out.
It's all right. He's got to get used to the weight of it. That'll help him. All right. So the group of, let's see, we got Aaron Windstalker. We got Lady Eris. We got Sir Quay. We got the Umwati boy. We got Wowzer strapped to the outside of this thing. Boxer and Calfbot are there. So Sir Quay now has two squires. They have Calfbot, who will probably roll with him because they're best buds, and as an Umwati, so he's got a little, they got a little posse going with him.
Is Nim there?
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, Nim. Nim would definitely be there.
I don't know if Nim would come along or not.
Well, Nim is in a weakened state after spending, I mean, how long was she Lord Momin? I mean, when
a
did
a long time.
Yeah. So she's definitely in a weakened state. And
yeah. I think we see her in the crowd being supported by her parents, who still lived in the city. And her dad's older, but her parents have been taking care of her while Lady Eris has been getting the ship up to snuff.
Oh, perfect, yeah. So it kind of makes sense for Nim to stay behind with her family. She's not in a condition to travel, and plus, her parents probably wouldn't want her to go on this, what they assume is going to be a death trap of some type. So they just got their daughter back. They're not going to let her go anytime soon. So
I will note that at some point, Anarchy switched out her Lady Eris robes for, like, Mad Max-style leathers while she was working, and she's made herself a crown of ragged metal and declared herself Imperator. The Inklings have, like, no idea what she's talking about, but...
I'd like to note that Aaron Winstocker has traded out his Mad Max-style leathers for a environmental spacesuit that he found in the ship,
okay,
so that he can take this journey as hyperspace was intended on the back of a Purgle.
Well, someone's got to...
So, like a metal album cover.
That's, you know what? Someone's got to steer the Purgle, for Christ's sakes, you know?
Yeah.
And all you losers who ride inside of starships, the way to go is outside, I'm just saying. That's how real men travel. All right, so Aaron in his spacesuit climbs on the back of... I guess the one-eyed one was the male, so that would probably be the one in front. What are we doing with Jason?
Oh, I'm on top of Jason.
Okay, so it's like you're on the third one then. Okay, I got you.
So Jason wasn't big enough to do it on his own, but we've finagled these straps... Mm-hmm. So that he's coming along.
Okay, cool. So all three of them are strapped together. Aaron is tapping into the force to calm them down. And we our camera shot kind of pulls back as we see this almost like, this is funny as we're close to Christmas when this is happening. This almost looks like a reindeer type situation as the Purgles are pulling up a shuttlecraft off the ground. The shuttle is able to lift a little bit with kind of like repulsor engines, but its hyperdrive is definitely off. But it's enough to lift it off the ground, and the Purgles start doing slow, ever-increasing loops, wider and wider as they lift more and more into the atmosphere of Week. They line up their angle, their trajectory, and with a few deft keystrokes, Arnick triggers the hyper gate to activate as she simultaneously turns the hyperdrive onto the ship best it can. The Purgles start lighting up. We see the electricity crackling down the sides of the Purgles from the lead male over the female, over Jason. And Aaron can feel just this raw natural energy and exuberance rippling through him. In his life, he spent many years alone. And I don't know how many happy moments Aaron Windstalker might have had in his life, but this exceeds anything he's ever felt in his life. This is the happiest that he has ever felt and may ever feel in his life. This connection with these animals, this connection with the Force, as this energy ripples faster and faster through him, collecting into a giant ball around them. And in a blink of an eye, this magical sleigh of Purgles disappears through a hypergate. The hypergate lights up into a beautiful, beautiful, unbelievably bright, almost star in the daylight. And for the next 72 hours, it's daylight on this area of Week as it just shines brighter and brighter. And slowly the lights go out on the hypergate and it goes dark. And the people of Week will still see it floating there. And they will see this thing they call the Broken Sun. And they will tell tales of this Broken Sun for generations and generations to come. As Richard Swordfire spreads the word of the larger universe. And Week returns to a little bit of normality. But change has come to this planet. And maybe, in someday, they will reach out for the stars on their own. For listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please head over to iTunes and leave an iTunes review. Those really help other people find the show. If you want to help us create more great Flight Risk episodes, please head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/flightriskpod. If you want to help us in a way that doesn't involve credits leaving your pocket, please spread the word on social media. We can be found on Twitter at FlightRiskPod and on Facebook.
That kind of fly out into the sunset sort of thing. It's a fine ending. Indeed.
Cool.
I mean, you went with stories of a broken sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or tales of a broken sun, you said? That was funny.
I try to be...
I was very sad that no one said, on Dasher, on Dancer, on Jason and Quay, on Aaron, on Anarchy, let's go save the day! Nobody did that.
If Skip was there, he could have been writing right next to Aaron and could have been singing that out.
Next season.
Next season, definitely.